Mr. Moody sent me an email at the beginning of last week, just reminding me of my commitment to be with you, but also saying that in the light of your forthcoming week of prayer, that he would appreciate me addressing you on that great subject. And it is a massive subject to talk about prayer, tremendous privilege, a blood-bought privilege that sinners such as you and I can approach God and talk to him in prayer. I think we all would agree that Christian men and women need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And apparently, we are told that more people pray than read the Bible. More people pray than read the Bible. The challenge, however, is really, is it a priority in our lives? Is it something that we think of immediately and the thing we think of firstly? Is it a first resort or a last resort? Someone has put it this way: how often would we pray if we had nothing to ask God for? How often would we pray if we had nothing to ask God for? I want to explore this subject this morning in a very simple way, and not to chastise folks about their prayer life, but really to encourage you to put prayer, both privately and publicly, as a number one priority in your Christian lives. And I have a number of very simple points, and I don't imagine for a moment that I'm saying anything that you have not heard many times from this pulpit before. The subject of prayer. And I begin with the priority of prayer. I read from Acts chapter 12. The early church was in a period of crises. James, the brother of the Apostle John, had been executed by King Herod. This had so pleased the other Jews that he then proceeded to put in prison the Apostle Peter. The likelihood was that Peter would also be executed, beheaded by the sword. And what did the early church do? What did the early Christians do? They met for prayer. It was the first thing they thought. This is serious. We need to pray. And that is what they did. Now, of course, they had been taught to do this by precept and example. They had been taught that prayer was to be a priority. There were a number of examples that they would have recalled. Supremely, of course, Jesus was a man of prayer. They knew that he was a preacher. Mark 1:14, Jesus went into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. But in that very chapter in Mark, toward the end of it, Mark 1:35, we're told that Jesus was a man of prayer. Very early in the morning, we're told, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus often went off and unburdened his heart through his father. But not just in private did Jesus encourage prayer as a priority. Also, more publicly, when the disciples said, "Lord, teach us how to pray," he taught them a prayer that could only be prayed together with others. "Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us not into temptation," and so on. The Lord's Prayer is a public prayer. It's not a private one. And his great high priestly prayer, recorded for us in John 17, was prayed in the company of his disciples just a short time before he went off to Gethsemane and faced Calvary. So Jesus would encourage us by his own example to pray privately, but also to gather more publicly with others. And the early church, the early apostles, followed that example. In Acts 2:47, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayer. They continued steadfastly in prayer. In our reading in Acts 12, when Peter was cast into prison, we read in verse 5, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. And when God answered their prayer and Peter was released," in verse 12 we read, "he went to the house where many people had gathered and were praying." The Apostle Paul, the great pioneer missionary, exemplified this pattern as well. Do you remember after he was converted and the Lord appeared to Ananias, the leader of the church in Damascus, and told him to what had happened, "Go and welcome Saul as your brother"? We read in Acts 9:11, "Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." He is praying. A new convert. He is praying. And when Paul came to write his epistles, you find him urging upon the early church the priority of prayer. He tells them that he is praying for them, and he asks them to pray for him. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember you, pray continually without ceasing." So both by prayer and example, Paul urged upon them this pattern to make prayer the first thing that you think of, your priority. Today, of course, we don't have to face prison or persecution like many of our brothers and sisters in other lands. But nonetheless, we face critical days. We live in days of moral and spiritual decline. You think in the past 10 years or so, situations have arisen that we would never have dreamt of. And the need to pray, both privately in your own home, but also publicly as you gather with others, is increasingly to be a priority for all who would claim to be Christians. Here's a few quotations I've come across over the years that encourage as well as challenge us. Here's one by a man called S.D. Gordon. He wrote a little book on quiet talks of prayer. And in it he wrote this: "The greatest thing that anyone can do for God and for man is to pray." Let me repeat that. The greatest thing that anyone can do for God and for man is to pray. Another quotation from a man called Leonard Ravenhill, who was scathing in his criticism of the church of his day. And one of the things that he records is this: in the matter of prayer, never has so much been left by so many to so few. And a final one from Samuel Chadwick. The one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom. But he trembles when we pray. I could say a lot more, but I wish to be more practical this morning. But given the priority that ought to be in each of our Christian lives, given the examples that we have from the Lord Jesus and the early church and Paul, the question we should all be asking is how? How do you pray? And so I want to turn to a second heading, the practice of prayer. I'm not fond of hearing Christians praying, "Lord, teach us how to pray." For I can imagine the Lord Jesus when he hears that and say, "But listen, I've already taught you. Read what I have said in the Bible. This is the way that you ought to pray." But this morning I want to turn your attention briefly as I speak about the actual practice of going about praying. And I want to refer to Acts 12. Again, James has been executed. Peter is next. Within a few days, that might be what will happen to him. He's guarded around the clock by 16 soldiers. He's in chains. Even while he's sleeping, one on either side, there are guards at the gate. Situation was tense. What on earth could they do? And we are told that in that dire situation, they met for prayer. And that was the first thing they thought of. They met together to pray. And notice a number of points that arise out of verse 5 that describe their prayers. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. It was earnest prayer. The church prayed earnestly. I have no doubt that there were many tears that were shed at that prayer meeting. For Peter was due to be executed. It was a desperate situation, and they felt so powerless. What could they do? Well, they could pray. And pray they did. And pray earnestly they did. Now, many of us have heard prayers that maybe gave the impression that somehow the Lord was deaf and couldn't hear. And we sometimes think of those as being passionate prayers. That's not what we mean. The Lord is not deaf. Our prayers are to be sincere, not to impress others, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not to be seen of man. Enter into your closet, and when you pray privately, your Father who sees everything in secret will reward you openly. But again, as I said, Jesus encouraged his followers to meet together. And this is what this early church did. They recalled that Jesus taught them, forgive us, bless us. And when he met just prior to the cross, he met with his disciples in the upper room and he prayed. Our prayers, whether they be private or more public, are meant to be earnest and sincere. The psalmist, you remember, said this, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Only those who have clean hands and a pure heart. They must be earnest. And it was to God. The church was earnestly praying to God. And I feel that, strange as it might seem, I have to emphasize that. That whenever we pray, whether it be privately or publicly, we need to remember who we are talking to. And I have to say that over the years, I have known this to be a particular sin of ministers who lead in public prayer. Who are you talking to? I remember very vividly, never forget it, one stalwart minister, godly man. And he was asked to preach at a certain service, and he was told that he had to keep it short. And he wasn't too pleased at that. And he says, but I suppose I can preach in my prayers. And I've thought ever since, how sinful. Under the pretense of talking to God, he was really talking to other people. Our prayers are to be directed toward God. I shared with the boys and girls, TSB. Some people are more familiar with Acts, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration. And there we must begin, as we were taught in the Lord's Prayer. Adoration for God as to who he is and what he has done for us. And we need to learn to praise God as we pray, to give him thanks. C, of course, is confession. And particularly in private prayers, we need to be quite specific in the sins that we confess, to own up to God. And as you pray for forgiveness, accept it and be thankful for it. Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. Count your many blessings, friends. Name them one by one, and you will be surprised at what the Lord has done for you. Learn to be thankful. And then supplication. This leads me really to my final point. Their prayers were earnest. They were directed towards God, and they were for him. They were definite. They were for Peter. You'll forgive me if I mention, as an illustration of that, the prayer meetings that we held in Connor. We held a weekly prayer meeting on a Saturday night. And our first time, we had three sessions within the hour, three sessions of prayer. And this enabled those who were there to at least pray three times. So there was no need for long prayers of going around the world in 10 minutes or more. Our first session after a short prayer meeting was ACT, Adoration, Confession, and Thanksgiving. And then I finished it and mentioned particular prayer requests for those in hospital and so on. And we prayed definitely for particular needs. And then the third session, being on a Saturday night, we ended up our time of prayer by praying for what would happen in the Lord's will the following day on Sunday. We prayed for the Sunday services. We prayed for the Sunday school, the Bible class, and so on. And in each of those sections, we sought to make our prayers as definite, specific as possible. We sought to be earnest. We sought to pray to God and not to one another. And we were as specific as possible. I want just to make two further comments as I close, as I encourage you to pray. Can I encourage you in your private prayers to be systematic, to have a notebook with maybe 7 pages, a page for each day in the week, maybe 31 pages for each day in the month. Pray regularly for your family and for your friends. Can I encourage you to make a list of 6 of your friends whom you know are not already Christians and pray daily for them by name? Make a list of the missionaries that you have an interest in and pray for them. Gather together as many of their prayer letters as you can and pray for their specific requests. Pray, of course, for the work of Brookside, the session, the committee, the Sunday school teachers, your youth leaders, and so on. Don't forget to pray for your minister and his family. In your private prayers, try and be systematic. And finally, can I encourage you to meet with others in prayer? This week of prayer, I wonder just how many of you will be there. Many churches no longer have a time of prayer in the week. And those who do often find that it's the smallest meeting of the week. But you might feel that you could never pray in a public meeting. Over the years, I have encouraged folks in Connor to write out a prayer, maybe even in the form of a little chorus or the verse of a hymn. To write it out, and it's your prayer, and you read it out. But sometimes you just can sit quietly and let your amen follow the prayers of those who pray more publicly. E.M. Bounds was another man that I often read in terms of prayer, and he made this memorable observation. He said, units of prayer combined, like drops of water, they make an ocean that defy resistance. Folks, I haven't said anything that you haven't heard many times, I'm sure, from this pulpit. But can I urge upon you once again the priority of prayer? Make it in your individual, your own private life, in your congregational life. Make it a priority, the first thing that you think of facing any situation. We must pray. And in your actual praying, pray earnestly. Make sure in the words that you use that they're directed towards God. And make your prayers as definite, as specific as you possibly can. The greatest thing that you can do for God and for man is to pray. Do you really believe that? The greatest thing that you can do for God, for man, is to pray. Happy are you then if you do it. Let us pray. Father, we do want again in our better moments to thank you for this tremendous privilege of being able to pray and to talk to you in prayer. It's amazing that you should listen to folks like us. But we thank you for this blood-bought, costly privilege. We're sorry if we have neglected it in the past, but we pray that by your Spirit this morning, we will be led and encouraged to make it a priority, the first thing that we do, and that our prayers, like drops of water combined, will make an ocean that defies resistance. We ask our prayers as always in Jesus' name. Amen.